mercy. For His great love wherewith He loved us. Sent His best. No other blood would do. No other lamb could pay the price. Thank God for Jesus tonight. What a good way to start the new year, being in church here. Thank you for being here. I mean that with all my heart. I appreciate you being here tonight. And hope God really blesses you through this new year. Brother Randy, we good on teachers tonight? All right. Children, y'all can go to your classes. I appreciate the good Spirit of God being in the house of God tonight. You know, the Bible says that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I've found that if I come to church looking for something, I can get something. Amen. And I pray the Lord would help us tonight out of His Word. If you have your Bible tonight, I want you to turn with us in the book of Genesis, chapter number 1. 2019, January 2nd. Now, I hadn't messed up but one check putting 2018 so far. All right. In the first three chapters of Genesis, I'm not going to try to cover what I have studied all in one night here, but when I first started getting thoughts for the message here, I did think I was going to cover all these things, but I think I'll probably just cover one point tonight out of this. You'll find in Genesis, I've noticed four things that God gave. And I guess I was thinking about Christmas and the giving that people do and the great gift that God gave. And I look back into the book of Genesis as God began to speak to me and deal with me, and I see four things in these first three chapters here that God gave, and I know there's more in there that you can find. But I want you to notice, first of all, tonight, the guidance that God gives. Early on, He gave us guidance through the form of light. Light. And as the children were singing a while ago, Jesus came into this world to lighten the world, to show mankind the way to eternal life and to escape eternal death. And the second gift, which we'll not touch tonight, God gave a garden for man to labor in. And you notice this was before man's fall that God put him in the garden to work it and to keep it. So work is in order for mankind. Amen? But seems like in the day that we live, a lot of folks trying to get out of work. Amen? But it's biblical for somebody to work and even sweat a little working. Amen? And not only did He give guidance in the form of light to lead mankind, gave a garden for man to labor in, but notice this, He gave a girl. Amen? For love. God instituted the family in the Bible. And when He put Adam to sleep, took a rib from his side, He didn't form another man. But He formed a woman. And that's biblical. Anything else is an abomination in the sight of God. And fourthly, in these first three chapters, not only did He give guidance, a garden, a girl, but He gives grace. Grace. But tonight I want us to look at this thought of guidance. Let's start reading in Genesis chapter number 1 right here. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Anybody got a problem with that? You got a big problem. God is eternal. He's the one that had no beginning, and He'll have no ending. Now, if you can figure that out, I want you to write a book. I'd like to read it. Because it boggles my mind. Eternity. I can't comprehend it. So the things that God has said in His Word, man has to accept it by faith. By faith. So He created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Now notice in these first five verses right here, we see the entrance of light. The S-U-N light. And a little further on right here, we'll read some more in just a minute or two, but what I want to focus on in this entrance of light is the S-U-N, the natural light that God gives. But anytime you look in God's Word and you see a physical or a natural thing going on, always look deeper and for the spiritual things that God has to give to His people. And just as we see a natural light that God creates right here, we can run a parallel and a comparison right here to a spiritual light. Amen? Thank God for spiritual light. But you'll notice right here, before God created the sun, the moon, the stars, and man, He created light. Can I tell you that Jesus is the light of the world today? Jesus was the light of the world before the world began. Amen? That's all in the mind of God and for us to try to comprehend and put it to place in our faith. Jesus is the Lamb of God and the light of the world. Now, we'll see right here in verses 14 through 18. Let's notice something here. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. You'll notice in this that I've read tonight that when God created light in verse 4, He said that it was good. When He created the moon, the stars, and the heavens, He said He saw that it was good. Can I tell you this, that God never said that darkness was good? He never said that darkness was good, but darkness was upon the earth. This is a picture in the first few verses right here of a lost soul. You'll see that there was darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I've heard many messages preached from this right here. A lost person is in darkness. A lost person is walking in the shadow of death. But thank God for the Spirit of God that moves upon lost mankind and shows him light, brings light upon him. God lights a person, a dead person, a lost person. God has to give them light or they'll never be saved. They'll never come to God unless God shines a light upon their lost condition. Amen. The entrance of light. Now notice this. Let's make a spiritual application right here. I'm going to be turning to a lot of Scripture tonight, and which is kind of uncommon for me, but I feel like it's needful. I want you to turn to the book of John. John, chapter number 1. Let's look at the spiritual light that Jesus brought into this old world. The entrance of light. I'm glad that God gave us a son. Amen? The S-U-N. But I'm more glad that He gave us the S-O-N. Now, in John chapter 1 right here, we'll see the presence of light. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Listen to this. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Can I tell you something tonight? If anybody gets saved, it'll be because God shines a light upon their lost condition. Amen. I remember when I was a lost man going about doing the things of this world, I had no thoughts of ever being saved, friend. But one day, God shined a light upon my lost condition. All of a sudden, I realized that I was a heartbeat out of hell. And let me tell you something, friend. I didn't want to get into that place called hell. I didn't want to go there. I wanted to be saved. And I found out that when I called upon Christ, that He had shined a light upon me. He had loved me, and He gave me a chance at life. And that's the way He works toward a lost soul. The spiritual light. I'm glad that God sent His Son into the world to lighten the whole world. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other way tonight, friend. There's a lot of religions in the world today. There's a lot of damnable doctrines in the world today. But let me tell you something. You better not bypass Christ. You better not bypass the way to heaven tonight. Because He is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, the presence. Jesus was here before the world was even formed. He was here. He was present. He was the light of the world that would come and lighten man. Let's look at not only the presence of the Son, S-O-N, but let's look at the prophecy right quick of the Son. And there's many prophecies in the Old Testament of the Lord Jesus Christ about Him being birthed into this world and coming. But in Isaiah chapter number 9, in verse number 2, Isaiah's prophecy right here says this, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Thank God for the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't thank Him enough for what He's done for mankind and given us a chance at life. He says, "For unto us a child is born," in verse 6, "unto us a son is given." Listen, we ought not ever take for granted what God has done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We ought to have worship in our hearts and in our souls for what Christ has done. If we've been born again, if we realize that we could be in hell tonight, crying out without any hope of ever being saved, living in torments for all eternity, it ought to put worship in our heart and in our soul for what God has done for us. Amen. "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." When Mary birthed the Christ child into the world, He was destined to go to a cross to pay a debt that I owed. As low down and as sorry as I am, Jesus came into this world to pay my sin debt, that I could escape hell, that you could escape hell. Notice this. Not only the prophecy of this light, but let's look at the presentation of the light. In Luke chapter number 2, Christ is born in this chapter. And after 8 days, you'll find right here that Mary and Joseph had taken Him to Jerusalem now to fulfill the law of circumcision for the child, for the male child. Let's read in verse number 21. It says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, His name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before He was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought Him to Jerusalem to present Him to the Lord. And as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. Notice right here that they brought Christ to Jerusalem at 8 days of age to offer a sacrifice. But it's amazing to me in the mind of God that some 33 years later, Christ would march into Jerusalem, fix his face like a flint toward Calvary, to go there and offer himself a sacrifice for the likes of you and me. It's amazing, isn't it? He would pour out his life's blood there on Calvary's cross to save us. But now we see, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit unto the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Then he took him, speaking of Simeon, up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Listen, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. The light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Simeon, a man filled with the Holy Ghost, lifted up Christ, blessed the Lord, thanked him for the salvation that he was holding within his hands. What amazing stories the Bible tells about our Lord Jesus Christ. A light to lighten the Gentiles. It's amazing that God knew that he would be rejected of his own, that he would be able to turn to the Gentile world and offer salvation for the likes of us. That's amazing, isn't it? The entrance of light. I'm glad that Jesus came. Glad that he came. But notice the essentials of the light. Back in Genesis, God created the sun. You know, it's amazing how God set everything in place and in order, isn't it? I mean, this big old ball of fire that we know is the sun just burns and burns and burns and keeps a burning. And all the planets orbiting around, I think, around the sun. If I got my science right, Brother Randy, we're going around and around, ain't we? I still believe the earth's flat, though. Amen. Well, Jamie, you believe it, don't you? Huh? Thought I taught you better than that. Anyway, okay, the earth's round. So they say. I had never been out there and looked at it. But anyway, it's amazing. Isn't it amazing how God created everything, and how God's got it just hanging out on nothing. Hanging out on nothing. And how many miles per hour are we spending round and round, Brother Randy? 18,000 miles per hour, something like that on earth. Brother Jerry, no wonder we get dizzy sometimes. Amen. Well, that's true. It's true. Anyway, the sun, S-U-N, it's a source of heat. It gives light. You know, I sit down yonder. I get up just about every day before daylight. And I go in and get me a cup of coffee, and I sit at the table, and I got a big window right there in front of me. It's dark outside. But you know, in just a little while, you know, I can kind of watch the clock, watch out that window, and it begins to lighten up a little bit. It gets a little lighter and a little lighter. Then on the horizon out there and over the lake and trees, the sun will come up over the trees. You know, God's put it back out there again. God has set everything in order. Everything is just working right according to His plan and His schedule. He said in Genesis here, He gives us signs for seasons, days, years. You know, that old sun will come up and it'll head on over toward the west. You know, the next day it'll be right back over there, though, in the east. God's got everything working according to His plan. It gives us heat. It gives us light. Isn't it amazing how much light comes out of the sun? I mean, you think about it. When you get up in the morning, when you go out tonight into the dark, you think about how God gives us the sun every day for light and for heat, warmth. And, you know, without the sun, S-U-N, there'd be no life. The earth would just be a big frozen ball and no life. You know, I got an old black tarp that I covered up some lumber with here a while back. Had pretty green grass there. I covered that lumber and it got over on the grass. And a couple of weeks later, I went out there and flipped that tarp back and the grass was dead as it could be. No light could get to it. And, you know, without the sun that God placed and in the sky, give light, gives us trees and gives us plants, gives us food. It does so much for us that we take it for granted what God has done for us in life. All plant growth, all life, because of the S-U-N. But then on the spiritual side of it, the essentials of the sun's light, the S-O-N's light. Without Christ. And the Bible, I repeat again, in Him was the life, and the life was the light of man. Life. Life's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Amen. We ought to be thankful every day that God gives us life and health and strength. And He does give it. Amen. He puts food on our table, a roof over our head. He gives us health. He gives us strength. And we ought to glorify Him and praise Him and thank Him. Be a thankful people every day of our life for what He's done for us. Notice this in John chapter number 14 now. Talking about the essentials of light. In John chapter 14, as Jesus was teaching here, His disciples right here, you remember when Thomas, Christ was speaking about going away and preparing a place for us. Thomas said unto Him, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. No man comes unto the Father but by Me. And let me tell you, no man's going to come to the Father except the Father drawing. Amen? I'm thankful tonight for God and what He's done for us. In John chapter number 8, back up right there in your Bible, John chapter number 8, Jesus says this right here in verse number 12. He said, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know, Jesus, He lights up your life if you belong to Him. He walks with you. He talks with you. He rebukes. He corrects. He loves on you. I mean, He's everything that you'll need in life. Amen? He'll even tell you when you're wrong. Amen. He'll shine a light on your sin. Now in John chapter 12, notice this right here, what he says about light. In John 12, in verse number 32, He said, If I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto Me. This He said, signifying what death He should die. The people answered Him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide Himself from them. It's a dangerous thing to reject light. Amen. Even as a child of God, when God shines a light in our life in certain areas that He wants to correct us, that He wants to guide and lead us, He says we better get to the light. While we have light, we better walk in the light, lest darkness come upon you. Because notice right here, when Jesus got through teaching these things to these people right here this day, He said, While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide Himself from them. It's a dangerous thing for a lost person to sit and hear the Word of God, and God shine a light upon their lost condition, and God drawing with cords of love, and for that person to reject Him and turn away, hey, he may not get that chance again. Jesus departed, and He did hide Himself from them. Sad story, isn't it? Hid Himself from them. The entrance of light, the essentialness of light. The experience of light. We notice in Genesis chapter number 1 that when God created the sun, S-U-N, that this light had a purpose to dispel darkness, to divide. And that's what Christ does in a person's life today. He expels darkness, exposes darkness. He divides. The Bible tells us that we're to be separated. We're to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Isn't that what He says? Yet I'm afraid in lives today, in churches today, we try to mix too much darkness in. Amen? But this doesn't work. It doesn't work. If we're going to have fellowship with God, then we're going to have to follow Him as He is in the light. Amen? In 1 John chapter number 1, look what the Bible says here. John says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." You know why so many people get nothing out of church? You know why so many people can sit through a good Holy Ghost preaching and just absolutely get nothing? Darkness has stole their fellowship. Amen. If we'd get our hearts right with God before we walk in these doors right here, if we would come in prayed up and have our hearts right with God, there's no telling what God would bless us with. But we want to hang on to the darkness that the devil has got for mankind. We live in a dark day. There's more darkness in this world today than I believe has ever been. More things to tempt us. More things to draw us into the world than it's ever been. But God has not changed. He's still a God of light. And He will not have fellowship with darkness. So ask yourself the question, what do I get out of church? Amen? A lot of times you get out what you put in. Amen? The experience of light. The sun exposes, expels, He directs, He corrects, and He draws. Now, notice these things right here. I find in the Word of God we have that God gives us through the S-O-N. We have the light of His written Word. Amen? In Psalms 119 and 105, the Bible tells us that His Word is a lamp under our feet and a light under our path. The Word of God is essential. It's essential. If we're going to live a Christ-like life and a godly life, right here is where you need to be. You don't need to be in Facebook. Amen! You need to be in the book. I tell you, if we put as much time into God's Word, into God's book, as we do in Facebook, I tell you what, our lives would be a whole lot better off. Sorry about that, folks. True. True. Thy Word's a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. No wonder we get stumbled up so by the devil. No wonder we get off course and get off track. Got to get in the Word. See what God has to say to us. The light of His Word. In Ephesians 5:8, the Bible tells us to walk as children of the light. How's your walk tonight? Amen? Now, the light of His written Word, then there's the light of Christ. John 1:9 says, "He's the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." We have the light of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost to guide us in life. And thirdly, I want you to notice the light of the gospel. The light of the gospel. Thank God for the gospel, the good news. Thank God for calling preachers. Thank God for calling teachers. Thank God for the Bible tonight. Amen? I'm glad I've got a Bible. I'm glad I'm in the old King James Bible tonight. And I'm glad there is a gospel to obey and a gospel to share with the world. Listen to this. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, I'm talking about the light of the gospel. He says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Listen to this verse now. It ought to be a blessing to you. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Shined in your darkened heart, in my darkened heart. In other words, if God hadn't shined a light upon us, we'd still be in darkness. Still be in darkness. The glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The way, the truth, and the life. The only way. Thank God for that. Now, as God gives us the written word, the light of the word, the light of the Son, the light of the gospel, it leaves mankind with a choice. God's done all He can do. God has done all that He is going to do. He's presented to mankind the gospel. He gave His Son to pay the debt. But I want you to notice this right here. In John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. Great verse. Wonderful verse. That whosoever, a whosoever verse, that all mankind could be saved. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now listen to this. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Amen. You know why I wandered in sin so long? Drunk and gambling? I was in love with darkness. In love with darkness. Until God shined the light upon me so bright and so strong and made me realize that I was just a heartbeat out of hell. It seemed like death and hell was everywhere I turned, it was closing in upon me. It was light. God was dealing with me, drawing me to a place of repentance. And all the time the devil was telling me, you've gone too far, you've done too much, God will never save you. But when I cried out to Him, at the snap of your fingers, He saved me. When I cried out, love of darkness. He says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. You know why this world, this country, you know why they won't take the Ten Commandments off the courthouse wall? You know why they won't take prayer out of schools and totally take God out of society? This verse answers it right here. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Truth. Man has a choice to accept the light or reject the light. And it's sad to see a world heading so much in the wrong direction today. the entrance of light, the essentials of light, the experience of light. But then lastly this, the exit of light. The exit of light. You know, Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 5, He said, "You are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world." Somebody's looking at you. If you name the name of Christ, you've got folks looking at you to see what you've got, to see if you're real. You're the light of the world, a city set on a hill. Amen? So folks are watching us. But one of these days, the exit of this light, the S-O-N, light, is going to be a catching up. We're going to be caught up into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And all of God's light shining through God's people is going to exit this old world. And the devil's going to have a heyday then. Lost mankind will be left here. There's going to be a rapture that takes place. The sun is going to catch us up. And then the S-U-N is going to burn up. Sooner or later. 2 Peter says, "The heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Jesus teaches us that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Look around. This old world that we strive so much for and invest so much in, so much in love with, it's going to burn up. Going to burn up. One day before long. I'm talking about the exit of light. One more place right here and I'll be through. In Revelation now. In the book of Revelation chapter 21. I want you to notice something. As I talk about the exit of light. Now the New Jerusalem is being described right here, a place called heaven, where God saved will dwell for all eternity. He says in verse 23, "The city had no need of the sun," S-U-N, "neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there." No night. No S-U-N, but the S-O-N will be there. And by the way, if heaven's got walls, I think we need a wall. Amen? Amen.